Radio Prague News.
Brno's council has passed a resolution apologising for the expulsion of Germans at the end of World War II. Norwegian authorities have given an ultimatum to a Czech mother, and the IMF has praised the Czech economy. Brno's council has made a declaration of regrets for events in the city at the end of May 1945 when German citizens were expelled as part of post-war World War II reprisals. Around 20,000 Germans were forced to march from Brno to Austria at that time, with around a tenth dying of exhaustion along the way. After the passing of the Declaration of Reconciliation and Common Future on Tuesday evening, the mayor of the Czech Republic's second city, Petr Vokral, said he and fellow councillors hoped all past wrongs could be forgiven. Norwegian authorities have said they will not allow a Czech mother to see her two children if she does not agree for adoption procedures for them to go ahead. The latest twist in developments around the mother Eva Michalákova was made public by the Czech Ministry for Labour and Social Affairs on Wednesday. It said the Norwegian move was at odds with the assurances which they had been given. Czech Minister Michaela Marksová described the latest step as surprising and said she would take steps to oppose it. The brothers are currently living in Norway with separate foster parents, and access by their mother is strictly restricted. The International Monetary Fund predicted Czech growth would reach 3% this year, but slow down in the midterm to around 2.25%. A previous estimate saw growth this year at 2.5%. Inflation would be above zero this year before rising towards 2% in 2016, the report unveiled in Prague added. The overall tone of the report said that the foundations for strong growth were being laid, but criticised aspects of the labour market, tax administration and public spending. The IMF head of mission, Kostas Christou, said that steps should be taken rapidly to enshrine the target for the structural deficit not to exceed 1% in national legislation. Czech engineering company Škoda Praha on Wednesday said it had won a more than 9 billion crown contract to deliver a 250-megawatt turbine for a coal-fired power plant in Montenegro. The Czech company won the contract in competition with 9 other companies. Škoda Praha's long-term involvement in the Balkans and the terms of its offer were cited as among the main reasons for landing the contract. Deputy Foreign Minister Rudolf Jindrak is to quit his post in a few weeks, Czech media report. According to the Daily Lidové Noviny, he's being lined up to replace Livia Klásová as the Czech ambassador to Bratislava. Jindrak was formerly ambassador in Berlin. Klásová faces a problem because the recently passed civil service law means she is too old to continue in the position. When the issue was first raised, it was suggested that a way would be found to circumvent the new law. And finally, in ice hockey, the Canadian club, the Calgary Flames, announced they have signed Czech defenceman Jakub Nakladal on a one-year contract. Nakladal's last season played for Finnish club Turka. The 27-year-old Czech was rated one of the best Czech defencemen in the recent World Championships, with 5 assists in 10 games. Other NHL clubs, Chicago and Carolina, were also reported to be interested in signing Nakladal. I'm Chris Johnston, and that was the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Daniela Alzerová. Coming up in today's programme, the Ukrainian foreign minister visits Prague and Brno apologises for the post-war expulsion of Germans to Austria. Later on in Marketplace, we look at the planned revival of Czech waterways. All that coming up, so do please stay with us. (Music) Czech Foreign Minister Lubomír Zaorálek, meeting with his Ukrainian counterpart Pavel Klimkin on Tuesday, expressed strong support for the Ukraine-EU association agreement a day before it was due to be discussed in the Czech Chamber of Deputies. While the agreement should be ratified easily in the lower house, the move was temporarily delayed by the opposition communists. Jan Wellinger has the story.
With the conflict in eastern Ukraine in the news daily and the future direction of the country questioned, the importance of the Ukraine-EU association agreement laying the foundations for greater political and economic cooperation has not lessened. Czech Foreign Minister Lubomír Zaorálek on Tuesday made clear that Prague remains dedicated both to the agreement and to helping Ukraine.
I would like to remind everyone that it is in the interests of the Czech Republic for Ukraine to be stable and to be economically and politically consolidated, and a country where violence has come to an end. From this very spot, I have called on Russia repeatedly to come to the negotiating table to stop trying to influence the situation in Ukraine. And I want to remind our lawmakers that the association agreement is a tool which should help bring peace and stability to the country.
His counterpart, Pavel Klimkin, thanked the Czech Republic and the EU for pushing for Russia to fully respect the Minsk ceasefire agreement, even though that hasn't fully happened yet. He pointed out that every day people are still dying in the eastern part of the country. Minsk, together with the association agreement, are ways forward, the minister stressed. Few doubt that the agreement already passed in a majority of member states will pass in the Czech Republic as well. Jakub Janda, an analyst for the Prague-based think tank European Values, discussed both the situation in Ukraine and the role of the agreement for the country in the years ahead.
Well, the peace has to be done, let's say, from the Russian side, and because they support the rebels. So it's everything regarding peace is in the hands of Kremlin, I'm afraid to say. But regarding the path to for accession of to the EU, it will take so many years. And I think the more important thing is that the association agreement is more like a first framework, and second, more like a roadmap of homework for the Ukrainian administration and the next administration, which will be coming after some next elections. So because what Ukraine really needs is to get onto a European track of a state administration and the governing model, if I would say. And it's not only about the EU membership, it's mainly about that they needed to have their courts working, they do need to have the trust for the state sector as well. And that's something what needs to be done on a yearly basis. So what the association agreement is great because it gives the Ukrainian government and the Ukrainian politicians and the people as well, it gives them a roadmap which steps are to be done next if they want to become a European civilized country, which could be thinking about the membership in the EU.
Political analyst Jakub Janda ending that report by Jan Wellinger. Moving on now, 70 years after the end of World War II, the Brno City Hall has issued an official apology to the victims of the violent expulsions of the German-speaking population that took place in the aftermath of the war. Ruth Frankova has the story.
Shortly after the end of the Second World War, before President Edvard Beneš officially approved the resettlement of around 3 million ethnic Germans to Austria and Germany, several towns and cities witnessed violent expulsions of their German inhabitants. One of them was Brno, the second largest Czech town, where on the 31st of May 1945, some 20,000 people were forced to leave the city and walk 50-kilometer distance to the Austrian border. Around 2,000 people are said to have died of exhaustion on the way. In the Declaration of Reconciliation and Joint Future approved by the Brno City Hall on Tuesday, local representatives expressed their sincere regret over the past events and paid their respects to the victims. Pavel Žára is a spokesman for the Brno Town Hall.
The first message of the declaration is directed at those who were harmed by the expulsion. It is a message of reconciliation. That's the symbolic significance of the declaration. The second message is targeted at young inhabitants of Brno who have nothing to do with what happened here 70 years ago. It's not about self-accusation. It's about remembering what happened in the hope that such events will never be repeated.
Even 70 years after the war, the mass expulsion of around 3 million ethnic Germans from Czechoslovakia remains a sensitive issue in the Czech society. Immediately after the declaration was passed on Tuesday, the governor of South Moravia, Michal Hašek, criticized the move on his website, arguing that it should have been preceded by an apology on the German side. Meanwhile, the city of Brno is getting ready to recall the events of the Second World War and pay homage to all the victims, including the expelled Germans. On the occasion of the 70th anniversary of the end of Second World War, the City Hall declared 2015 the year of reconciliation, and part of the program will be a commemorative march from Pohorelice, where the march of 1945 ended, to Brno. The event was established back in 2006 as a student project, and for the first time this year it was included into the official celebrations. Jaroslav Ostrčilík, who organizes the event, explains why it will take a different direction this year.
Well, the years before, it was basically a commemoration in the first place, and that's why we tried to stick to the route the people had to walk back then, and also, of course, the direction from Brno to Pohořelice. This year, it should be more than only a remembrance act. It has this moment of reconciliation. When turning around the direction of the march, it's something symbolic also for, you know, bringing something back into the city, not trying to turn around the wheels of time or something, but to reconcile with ourselves and with those people who were expelled from Brno. That's basically the symbolic of that.
The event will take place on the 30th of May and will be attended by Czech, Austrian and German politicians, as well as witnesses of the post-war events. The march will culminate with a commemorative meeting at a memorial in the old Brno monastery.
Ruth Franková with that report. A reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for our main feature. The Czech Republic is dissected by some major rivers, but water transport is very much a Cinderella sector compared with road, rail and air transport. But there are now moves to give rivers a much greater role. President Miloš Zeman would go even further and launch a massive construction project, making the country the focus of a revived Central European water transport system. We look at the ambitions and problems encountered so far to revive river transport in the Czech Republic. Chris Johnson has more in this edition of Marketplace.
Where there's a will, there's a way. And where there is a really big will, there's a waterway. That was one of the comments last week at a conference aimed at paving the way to get a long-stalled and crucial waterways project for the Czech Republic back on track. And the revival of Czech waterways, which currently account for around 1% of cargo transported in the country, as a cheap and environmentally friendly mode of transport, now has backing at the top. This is what Minister of Transport Dan Čok had to say.
If you consider 1% now, there is a really huge potential for the water transport, and we would like to, let me say, help the people who are doing business in the water transport much more. Our effort is to be able to operate the water route on Elbe through the whole year, and I think today's conference should help to do this step as soon as possible.
The conference the minister was referring to was a raucous and sometimes rowdy event focused on plans to make the Elbe River navigable almost all year round. Some backers of the plans to improve navigation accuse environmental opponents of being funded by the German rail company, Deutsche Bahn. That's an argument roundly rejected by the Czech environmental group Arnica, but it's an indication of how high feelings are running. At the moment, this key river running through much of eastern, central and northern Bohemia before heading northwestwards through Germany and to Hamburg and the sea can only be used by large cargo barges for around half the year. During much of the summer, there is not enough water, And at some times of the year, there is the opposite problem, that the river is flooded. One of the key obstacles to making the Elbe navigable is a relatively small stretch of the river between Ustin ad Labem, Děčín and the German border. And that has been the focus of a near 20-year battle over construction plans to create a channel which barges could use. One set of plans was forwarded for a so-called environmental assessment back in 2010 and sparked considerable opposition. It was returned to the sender, the Ministry of Transport and in particular the State Directorate for Waterways of the Czech Republic, for further work. The directorate says its new project now includes a host of environmental improvements, for example enabling fish and other wildlife to head upriver. The directorate says that 25% of the costs of the whole project are now connected with environmental measures. But environmental groups are still opposed to the project, saying that it will lead to the disappearance of some river habitat that has a Europe-wide significance. Head of the Waterways Directorate, Lubomir Foytu, says it has gone a long way to meeting the environmentalists' demands.
There is no single solution which would meet all the demands, and it is a question of some consensus. So, in some respect, the situation, the environmental situation, will be worse anyway, but we plan measures which compensated these problems in very high percent.
The revised plans, plus environmental measures, are now poised to be resubmitted to the Ministry of the Environment for it to conduct its assessment of their impact. Approval could mean that billions of crowns of European funds could be released, covering about 80% of the costs of the Děčín works and improvements further up the river, all the way to the outskirts of Pardubice. A negative ruling would stop the project in its tracks. The assessment will put the Environment Ministry very much in the spotlight, and Minister Richard Brabec even suggested last week that parts of the environmental assessment could be spun off to experts outside the Czech Republic if this was believed to be some extra guarantee of impartiality. Waterways Directorate Head Foytu says there are compelling arguments why the country should make the Elbe once again a major waterway, even if there are some environmental downsides that cannot be avoided.
Hamburg, which is the biggest Czech port actually, because the biggest part of the Czech export, which is going overseas, goes through Hamburg. And in this corridor there are about 20 million of tons per year. Water navigation transport only 400 tons, and the potential is to have at least 3-4 million tons. So it is fully possible if the river will be fully navigable.
Added to this are the arguments that water transport has around half the costs of rail and less than a fifth the costs of road transport. In addition, the noise, pollution and use of uncrowded infrastructure means that the indirect environmental costs of waterways are reckoned to be around an eighth of road transport. This makes waterways ideal for shipping bulk goods such as chemicals and heavy machinery that, in some cases, can hardly even get onto the roads. After decades of argument over the future of the Elbe and some serious damage to the Czech merchant fleet in the 1990s, it was privatised to the infamous pirate of Prague, Viktor Kozhny, who sold the vessels off piecemeal. Some doubt whether the sector is really ready for a comeback. Foytu says there are currently now 100 vessels flying the Czech flag, though most of them are doing business on other European waterways. Some could be modernised and improved for a return to the Elbe, and new vessels could be built, he argues. The important thing is to get the Elbe functioning and then the business will come back. The Transport Minister believes pleasure cruisers and light craft could also make a return to the river. In many ways, the arguments about the Elbe are a precursor to the much bigger project that has been punted by President Zeman. He is the main backer of a huge infrastructure plan to join the Danube, Elbe and Oder rivers, with new canals stretching for around 370 kilometres, mostly across eastern Moravia. They would be connected by what would look like a massive Y system of canals. Getting near all-year-round navigation on the Elbe and a connection to Hamburg would be a key to getting this project anywhere near looking feasible. The project could cost an estimated 300 to 400 million crowns, but the waterway system resulting might be able to ship around 9.5 million tons of goods a year, with final outlets offered on the North Sea, Baltic and Black Sea. The Czech government has so far been cautious on giving its backing to the project, with a feasibility study being commissioned by the Ministry of Transport. Last week, however, support was forthcoming from Slovak Prime Minister Robert Fico, and that added to existing heavyweight political support in Poland.
That edition of Marketplace by Chris Johnson has brought us to the end of today's programme from Prague. You'll find us online at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then please write to english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you as always. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and take care.